Well, tonight there is no battling with anything. Just a message, something that's been on my heart last year. And as the Lord's always worked in my life the last 7 years, the handful of times I preach here in Calvary, whenever I start studying something, it really starts developing in my life. Challenges start happening in my life pertaining to what I'm, and I think that's how it should be. Steve, if I could have your help real quick. Before I speak, this is just something I spoke to Calvary last week on the same message. So just ignore the tally marks by the, although I just kind of put Calvary on there. I just want you, I'm going to pass this out, some dollar bills on here. By the count of a tally mark, just put a tally mark where you think the real dollar bill. Which one's the real dollar bill? Oh, go around and do that. Okay. Okay. Back when I was in fifth grade, I think some of you can remember that long ago. Yeah, that's right. It's about 10 years old, 11 years old, whatever you are in fifth grade. you know, you had 25 or so people in your class. I sat on the right-hand side all the way up to the front, and there was this girl I had a crush on. She was on the left side, all the second one down or so, so I could kind of just glance over and see her. And if you remember, most of you probably remember Secret Santas. Remember how you had Secret Santas Christmas time? If you don't remember, some of you are nodding. Right after Thanksgiving, we would get back from break, and you would pick out a name. And that name, you would give a little gift to every week until Christmas. Then you'd have the Christmas party and reveal who your Secret Santa was that's been giving you the gifts. So I remember, it's clear as I remember this morning, I was praying. Because I prayed. I was saved when I was 27, but growing up Catholic, I talked to God all the time. Talked to God all the time. And I was praying. I'm like, God, please, 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 let me get Patrice. And I kept praying, you know, as a little kid can pray. And wouldn't you know, put my hand in that bag, pulled that piece of paper out, and it said Patrice King on it. Unbelievable. And I'm like, wow, you know, saying God works miracles, you know, the whole thing. So my mom would take me to Kmart's each week, and we'd get a couple little trinkets. And of course, coming up to Christmas, the big present was perfume. I got a perfume, whatever a couple dollars could buy back then. And here's what happened. When we opened the names, she saw who it was. Now, I was a nerdy guy with glasses. She was like, you know, they didn't have cheerleaders in fifth grade, but that's what she was like, you know. And she was real popular and everything. So she said thanks. And she was all friendly and real happy. And I'm like, wow, you know, there again, as a kid, what does that mean? You know, does that mean you have a girlfriend? If a girl talks to you? I don't know. But the interesting thing was I lived real close to the school. And we had the Christmas break, and she said, hey, what are you guys doing tomorrow? I go, well, we're just going to be around our house. She goes, can I come over? And I'm like, yeah, wow. I mean, I was just ecstatic that she's coming over with their friends. So she comes over to my house, and I got my buddies, my two best buddies growing up. Two houses down was Roger, and five houses down was Kurt. So Kurt and Roger are over playing basketball, and here comes Patrice with her couple friends. And wouldn't you know, when she got there, she never once talked to me. Never said a word. She never once talked to me. Instead, she went with Roger, went around the corner, and started talking to him the rest of the day. See, I found out from her other friends that she just used me to get to Roger. He was Mr. Popular, the Joe Jock and all that. And so that night, you know, I'm like, God, how can this be? And there again, it came and went as a kid. I just, you know. But the neat thing about it, things like that turn people on God. They do. And I never once, praise the Lord, never once have ever turned my back on God, never questioned it. But here's the thing. I realized after I was saved, I realized a handful of years ago, it wasn't God who got me that little piece of paper with Patrice King's name. It was the prince of the power of the heirs who did it. You understand? Satan is the one who manipulates things from the womb. You know, from the womb. All these abortions, Satan's in control of all that. He wants to destroy children at a young age. He wants to get them to not believe in God, to have things happen in their life so they turn on God. You get it? And that's what happened to me. It was Satan who did that. The prince the power of the air is the counterfeit. 10 years, about 10 years ago, well, not 10 years ago, it was, he's 54, so no, gosh, this would be about 30 years ago. Yeah, way before I got married to Sue. Sue's got an older brother. He was doing a paper out when he was about 25. This is about 27, 28 years ago. He was doing a paper out at night. It was similar to the Free Press. It was out in Vermont, where you had to get up at 3 in the morning to go deliver newspapers. And just like this day was like any other day, he came up to the railroad tracks as he finished his route. He's going home about 4 in the morning. And he heard the railroad, you know, the engine coming. And if anyone you know that you live, like I live by railroad tracks, when I'm jogging and the train's coming, I don't know where it's coming. It all echoes and you don't know which way it's coming. So he pulled up. He looked down the track and he saw from a distance, he saw the headlight, the big, huge light, right? So he looked left, saw it, and then he drove forward. He got hit by the train. The train was coming from the other way. And so he survived. The good thing about it, you know, he was 25 or so. He was saved after that. He was saved after he got hit by the train. And to this day, he's still, he's had work. He's on and off work because he's physically, he's kind of, he walks and everything, but his voice and everything is just slow. It's slow. So the title of my sermon today is, Which Light Are You Looking At? You see, because Michael fought, when he looked down, what that light was a warehouse. There's security light outside, their big light, that light lit up the parking lot. And he saw that light, which he thought was the train. He didn't take the time to do what? To look around. And see, Satan does that. Satan doesn't come, and we all know this, he doesn't come as a devil, red, pitchfork, you know, the horns. My parents used to dress me and my brother up for Halloween as devils. We had the little devil suits, the pitchfork, the stuffed tail, the whole thing, right? What was that all about? See, one of the reasons, and this is my particular theory, you know, whatever, how I live my life, the whole superheroes, Star Wars, Star Trek, I was into all that before I was saved. I watched all that sci-fi stuff before I was saved. But it's interesting for me in my walk. I never got into it after I was saved because one of the reasons was all these villains on all these movies. In these movies, you know, they're just, you know, Superman 9, Spider-Man 10. Now I hear it's Batman versus Superman, and who knows who's good or bad anymore. I guess that movie's coming out. But the villains are always ugly. They're always, you know, Darth Maul, Darth Vader. They're all these ugly. And what is that doing? Satan knows exactly what he's doing. He gets into the children's mind at an early age that the devil is mean and ugly, talks like this, you know. That whole, and he's not. He's what? I'll tell, that's right. 2 Corinthians 11, 13, 15 helps us what he is. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Interesting. Scripture's clear. Isn't it funny when you follow Scripture, you can see the plan Satan has? You can see the plans God has for us. The word Lucifer, as many know, or maybe some of you don't know, it's only mentioned one time in the Bible. And we'll review that. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, 12 through 18. How art thou fallen, heaven? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground with this weak in the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Listen, listen. I will be like the Most High. Lucifer, Satan, was beautiful. And I know some of you say, I know that. But no, he was beautiful. He led the music, the worship music in heaven. And he was so cunning and crafty and charismatic that he got a third of the angels to follow him in his rebellion. If you get a third of anything to follow you, you'll make you'll make $20 million a year in baseball if you hit a third of your balls. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're bad 300. That's very charismatic. He wasn't the devil, demon that Hollywood, everyone's been telling us all these years. Lucifer, now get this, I'll be like the Most High. That means he wants to be as close as God to God as he can. Counterfeit, right? When we talk about what light you're following, that's exactly what I'm saying. You're following Jesus, you're following the devil. There's no in between. It's either heaven or hell, but they're both lights. You get it? Revelation 21:23, though, says this, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." See, the world is full of what? Artificial lights. We have, I mean, think about this. We have lights, we have headlights, we have flashlights, we have candles, we have matches. Think about all the ways we can light our way. Think about it. And they're all artificial. Man-made light. You get it? Man-made light. All artificial. No need for any of that when we're with the Lord. No need for any of that. The word artificial, when I was studying it, it's very interesting. The word artificial is similar to artificer. Artificer is the word in Hebrew that means artificial, made by man's hands. Webster says artificial means to be made by human skills, produced by humans, imitation, counterfeit, not natural or real, made, produced, or done to seem like something natural. Okay? Now, interesting, in the Hebrew, artificer is a fabricator, carpenter, craftsman, engraver, maker, mason, smith, worker. It's very important, the job of artificer. You heard of the artisan? Same concept. Artisan is someone skilled at doing something. Steve's skilled at the gutter cleaning. Danny's skilled at numerous things. These were the artificers. But interesting that 1 Chronicles 29:5 says, "The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers." Genesis 7:22, "And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, instructor of every artificer in brass and iron." Isaiah 3:1-3 says, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, and the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent, and the ancient, the captain of 50, and the honorable man, the counselor, and the cunning artificer." See, the artificer was the one who made all the statues, Baal, all these worships of statues, gold, silver, no matter what it was in the Old Testament, these were the craftsmen. They didn't give it to some Joe laborer to make their god. You get it? The artificial craftsman, the artificer, was the one who crafted all these. Here's the interesting thing. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, as we know, it renders the artificer as the wise architect or master builder. It's the same word used by Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:10. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth hereupon." So see, it's the same word describing building, statues to worship, or building on the foundation of Christ, the things we want to build for the Lord. It's the same thing. You're going to build something in your life. You're going to do something in your life. There's no other choice but either serving God or serving the counterfeit. It's not in between. If it's not from your heart for God, then it's to the devil. That's it. But see, the problem is, as Christians, we get sucked into these false lights. We get sucked into these counterfeits that are all around us because they look, smell, taste so good. Could it be that Sue and I were sucked into this counterfeit of a scholarship that my son got that's going to pay for medical school, all the way through medical school? It could have been that. It could have been that. It's confusing now what's going on with this. Some of you know the story, but some things, we don't even give it a chance to let it simmer. If you find a $100 bill, oh, that's mine. You don't even think about the person that could have been paying the electrical bill and the guy's been running around for the last 2 weeks looking for it. We don't think that way, do we? Because we don't think except for ourselves, selfishness. That's just a little example. There's counterfeits. There's false lights. Really quick, not to be political, just to be factual of what America did 6 years ago. This is factual stuff. If I'm a, Democrat, Republican, whatever, I'm a Christian. Someone tells me, are you a Republican, Democrat? I'm a Christian, I tell them. Are you a Lutheran, you Catholic? I'm a Christian. Because Jesus Christ is everything to me. He's everything in politics, religion, anything in this world. I'm a Christian. That's the answer. So I don't care who you voted for. I'm not saying it. But when Barack Obama came to light 6 years ago, does anybody know who Saul Alinsky is? The name Saul Alinsky at all? No? Okay. Saul Alinsky died in the 70s, and he was a creator. He was atheist. He loved Lenin and Marx. He's a Marxist. And his whole concept of socialism came out in a book. It's called Rules for Radicals. Okay? Now, this book was exposed. Before Obama was elected, you could watch Fox News or whatever, and it kept talking about the Saul Alinsky tactics. Because in this book, it talked about how you gather the low people, and you build your masses to take over the have-nots versus the haves. Socialism, right? But the interesting thing was, they kind of follow, okay, great, whatever, right? And I don't have time at all. I could spend a whole week on what I just studied the last couple months. That Obama, this was his mentor, this whole concept. Everything he did to get elected was all from this book, Rules for Radicals. Okay, so as long as you know that, then you'll understand why I bring that up right now. Listen to this one. Because about a month ago, I heard this on a Christian station when I was in Virginia. I couldn't believe it, so I went and bought the book on Amazon. Rules for Radicals by the mentor to Barack Obama when he was in Chicago. The whole community, how you rally the communities, how you get elected. Anyways, listen to this. Opening cover of the book, inside. Lest we forget at least an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical from all our legends, mythology, and history. The first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom. Lucifer. Dash Lucifer. That book was dedicated to Lucifer. You understand? And we nominated the man who mentored the guy who dedicated the book to Lucifer. He's the president of the United States now. I don't need to go into his politics. I'm just telling you, we elected a man who followed the game plan of a guy who wrote a book dedicated to Lucifer. Hillary Clinton's senior honor thesis at Wesleyan University was on Rules for Radicals. That's what she wrote on. You get it? The Lord is coming, but the masses are being fooled by the false light. The Antichrist, we know he's going to be a charismatic, but there's ministers of righteousness. There's Antichrist right now all among us. So my challenge is obviously just to look. Take the time to just see if what's decision you have. Whether it's where my kids are going to college. Should we have more kids? What job should I take? Should we move? Should we sell the house? All these everyday decisions. How should we spend our money? Should we go on vacation? How much should we give? Because many times we're making quick decisions that aren't the right ones. They're counterfeit. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, when do you find out if something's counterfeit? If I take a $100 bill, it's counterfeit. When do I find out it's counterfeit? When? No, when you do what with it? When you try to spend it. You see, then it's too late. Because that $100 bill that you found in a park, like I said, instead of, so you think about it, wouldn't that be irony? You don't even go look who lost $100. Then you go spend it on something and it's counterfeit and you get busted. And that's what happens when we make wrong decisions, when we follow things like people on TV, these televangelists. I can't go into that there again. I could spend a whole series on each one of them. They're multi-millionaires. They're multi-millionaires. I spent a half an hour the other night, me and James and another fellow from work, we had the night to kill, and we're looking at all the sheer, I mean, Joel Osteen is worth $40 million. There again, it's not, I don't need to talk about is he saved or not. I don't think he personally, this is my opinion, but he's net worth is $40 million. And Jesus doesn't have a place to put his head. There's nothing about gaining wealth. Now, does that mean it's sinful? No, you could use it. I'm sure there's a lot of solid Christian men that have a lot of money. They've used it for the glory of the Lord. The missions. United States is number, you know, for sending missionaries out. I get that. But they're counterfeits. They're counterfeits. I could go on and on about things, and I get passionate about stuff like this just because Satan is so devious. Just because he's so crafty. He's looking 20 steps ahead. If you play chess, anyone who plays chess here, you cannot be a good chess player unless you're steps ahead of your opponent. I played chess with a Pakistani guy once. He invited me over for dinner, right? After we're done, he smoked me. He says, Brad,
I cannot play chess with you no more.
I says, why? He says,
because you're no good.
And I go, I mean, I know how to play. No, Brad, I am a championship caliber, and my opponent must be better than me. So I know, see, he calculates. See what I'm saying? He needs to calculate. If I do this move, I know he's going to do that move. Well, I was all whacked out going, doing crazy things. The guy actually said he can't play with me no more. See, Satan isn't this guy that's doing wacky moves. He knows exactly your weaknesses. He knows exactly what type of false light to send your way. That'll suck you into like a fly going to one of those zappers, right? He knows what it's going to take. Each individual one right here knows exactly your weaknesses. Don't think Satan doesn't know. The prince of the power of air knows exactly what's going on in this room right now. And that's all I'm here to do is just share warning. It happens to me. It happens to you. So, I could keep going on and on, but let's think about some remedies. I got three remedies, and I'm only going to get to two of them real quick. Tonight, we'll do a third one down the road, but here's my three remedies. Less looks, less books, and less cooks. Less looks, less books, and less cooks. Okay, less looks. Less looks is just a funny way of saying stop being covetous. You don't hear it being preached. I challenge you to go on your radio and listen to all these preachers. Nobody will be preaching on covetousness. Why? Because they're having these multi-million dollar ministries and they're selling the books and whatever, okay? You don't hear it preached enough. And I'm talking about just the need for greed, the greed, all those things. It's not just money, okay? Gandhi said, I got a quote from Gandhi. He says, the earth provides enough to satisfy everyone's needs, but not everyone's greed. This unknown author says, covetousness, men's chests are rich and full, but not their lives. And then I wrote this fun one. Everybody remember Willy Wonka in the Charlie Factory? The original one, not the counterfeit one from Johnny Depp. I'm talking about the original one, okay? And remember that one gal named Veruca Salt? Remember her character flaw was greed? And she says, Daddy, I want an Oompa Loompa, and I want one right now. Remember that? She says, all right, Veruca, I'll get you one before the day is out. She goes, Daddy, I want an Oompa Loompa now! Covetousness is used 39 times in the Bible. But of course, we know it best in Exodus 20:17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Why does God got to tell us all? If it wasn't a serious thing, it wouldn't be a commandment anyways. But why does he got to, why does it just say thou shalt not covet? Because he knew what we're capable of. So he says the covet the neighbor's house, nor his wife, manservant, maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass. Well, bread, nor his ass. There's no asses around. We don't have any donkeys. Really? Really? That was a mode of transportation then. Okay, 2014, don't covet your neighbor's car. Don't cover your neighbor's motorcycle. Okay? You do it. You do it. Everyone here does it. You buy a vehicle and all of a sudden you're looking, I should have waited and got that model. It doesn't have USB plugs in it. You just got a brand new vehicle, and everyone, you should be laughing because you know it's true. We're comparing to our neighbor all the time. What? Think about why is there so many colors and models and makes? You have to get from this place to that place to get some groceries. What does it matter? If you're really in love with the Lord, what does it matter how to get there? What do you look like? Everyone here's got different clothes on. Why? Because we're covetous. We're not happy with what we have. Well, Brad, I don't have any issues with my neighbor's wife. I don't lust after her. It doesn't say lusting. It says covet. Okay? And what that is, I have an issue one time years ago. I told Sue, why don't you organize like Mary does? My friend Lewis's wife. Because I coveted her planning skills. You get it? We have to think about these things and not just say, hey, I don't get drunk. I don't cheat on my wife. I'm okay. No, dig deep. Dig deep. And don't covet. Don't covet. Be happy with what you have. Please. Well, Brad, how can I discern which light I'm following if I don't covet? Think about this. It gives Satan a less opportunity to throw those artificial lights out at you. As soon as he sees you not happy, make a complaint about your vehicle you just bought, then all of a sudden he starts pounding you with all these, your job. You just got a job. You just landed a job. You've been happy for the whole year. And all of a sudden someone calls you for an interview. And you think, well, man, hey, I'm worth more than I'm making. Immediately, you start coveting a new position. When nothing's wrong with the one you got. You're paying your bills. You're going on vacation, but you want another job. And as soon as Satan knows that you are interested, then he'll start throwing. He'll have another person call you. See? Then he'll have your boss of your current job maybe have a bad day on you. And then you're like, that's it. I'm leaving. It happens. Less covetousness will help you discern the light of God versus the counterfeit light. Mark 7, 21, 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Right smack dab in the middle of all those great traits we have is covetousness. We got to stop coveting things. Luke 12, 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. If you haven't worn your clothes in the last year, chances are you're not going to wear them. You see? If you haven't played that game in 5 years or the saxophone that I've had since I was 25 years old, I'm not going to take lessons if I haven't taken lessons in 23 years. You get what I'm saying? So what do? I put it on Craigslist last week. I figured, okay, it's $500 20 years ago, whatever, when I got it. I asked for $380. Don't ask me why, just a number, right? A guy calls me up a couple weeks after I listed. He called me up last week, so I listed about 3 weeks ago. He calls me up last weekend. The Saturday before I preached at Calvary. And he says, hey, can I, or 2 weeks, he called me up 2 weeks before I preached last week. And he says, can I come look at the saxophone, my son, So he comes in with his son to my house. And his son, who's in the marching band, starts trying to play it. And he couldn't even get a tone, he couldn't even get notes out. I'm like, boy, how's he going to tell me if it's good? He can't even play. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. He says, Dad, he says, the pads are something wrong with it. Something's wrong with this. He goes, well, we'll go over to Port Huron Music. We'll see what's up. I go, listen, just take it. Take it. See what they say about it. I'll be honest, right? He said, oh, that'd be great. Thank you so much. I go, no problem, you know. So he takes it. And then last week, he texts me and said, I'm going to drop it off. He says they want $400 repair because it sat around so long. All the pads got dried up and cracked. You can't repair it. And then some of the valves or whatever. So here's the thing. Sitting around, it's worthless now, okay? But what did I do? He drops it off. So last week, Sunday morning, before I go to Calvary to preach this message, which a lot chunk of this message is about covetousness, wanting more, wanting, you know, money and whatever, I went on Craigslist and I dropped that price down to $300 or best offer, right? I did it, and I posted it. That's completely wrong. I know that it takes $400 worth of, right? So then to make myself feel better, I kind of looked at it. I can't do that. So I go on and I put needs new pads. You see? And that satisfied me. Okay? After I gave the message last week, I went home. I told James, I got to donate it. I got to go give it to someone for free. You get what I'm saying? Because you're justifying. You know? And so you go from this counterfeit light to this counterfeit light and to this. And finally you realize, Lord, just take it. I'll give it to somebody. So less looks, less books, and less cooks. We talked about less looks. Stop your covetousness. The next thing we can do to help discern which light we're following in our lives is less books. And that's just a fancy way for me to say that all media falls in this category. Your iPod, your iPad, your iTouch, your books, your radio, your TV. Anything that distracts you from thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything that distracts you media-wise that keeps you from reading your Bible. It's all over the place. Am I not right? It distracts you left and right. I'm talking about even when, like with me, even listening, looking for Christian radio stations when I'm in Virginia. You know, I'm trying to go back. I spent 10 minutes trying to get a good signal. Why can't I just turn it off and talk to the Lord? That's what I'm talking about. Just being at peace with the Lord and not always trying to do something. Less books. Now get this one. I'm going to say some names. Doesn't mean I'm against them. I like some of these guys. I'm just giving you an example. John MacArthur has written over 150 books. Jerry Jenkins, who did the Left Behind series, he's written over 150 books. Norman Geisler was written over 110 books. Ravi Zacharias written over 67 books. R.C. Sproul's written over 60 books. And I found name after name after name after name of Christian men who've written hundreds of books. Now think about this. Would you like to go to the judgment? Hey, listen, I'm not judging. I'm just saying he's going to have to tell God that the Bible wasn't good enough. I had to write 150 books to straighten up the flock. Are you kidding me? Listen. I'm not judging. I read some books. I have some books that are not. I love biographies. That's where I love biographies. Reading about how people are saved. That's for me. And I do read some other books. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. But I'm saying, got to be careful on what we're reading. I mean, even you know, students of the Word spend so much time reading about theology and who's and this, that, and this, that, and the other, and life's just going by them. People are going by that could be saved. We know Jesus Christ died on the cross. Believe it and you'll be saved. Believe. Just believe. Why do we need to read 150 books to learn what we, you know? Can you read some books to enhance your strength in the Lord? Yes. I'm not. Do we understand that? I don't want anybody to say, oh, Brad said don't read. Just read the Bible. No, I'm just get where I'm going with it. I'm saying less books. I didn't say no books. I said less books. Ecclesiastes 12 through 14. What a great verse. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, for fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. What is he saying? Much study is a weariness of the flesh. Yes, study the word. If you're going to get weird in the flesh, study the word. Study the word. But back to books. Listen to this one. Three world records. This man holds three world records. Most published author at 1,084 works, one man. It's a world record. Most audiobooks, very popular now for people who are driving. Most audiobooks at 185. And the world's most translated author. World's most translated author. You know who this person is? L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology. He owns those three world records. Is that unbelievable? He was quoted as saying, many of you probably heard it, he was quoted as saying, if you want to be a millionaire, start a religion. Millions, millions, millions people are making. Where's the money? Where's the money going? Hey, I hope some of it's trickling to the real light. But all these boats and all these things that all these preachers, you know, I got on the internet to look for Christian cruises. That's the newest thing these days. You know that? There's 15 of them that I just found. 15 cruises that you can go to with Christian ministries and hear Christian music. Do you think they give you a discount? No. But because it's a 501c, it's a ministry, everyone and their family all get to go for free. Whoever's putting this on, they all go free because of our great tax laws. But anyways, less looks, less books, less cooks. Less cooks, I'm just going to share with you, maybe we'll preach on it down the road, is fasting. Again, covetousness is not preached enough, and fasting is definitely not preached enough. It's a big deal in the Bible about fasting for the Lord. We don't have time to go through it, but that's by Les Cooks. Maybe we'll explore it down the road. Before I end, just wanted to everyone to know that it's really interesting that Venus, the planet Venus, a lot of people call it the second Earth, okay? And Venus, I don't have time to go through it. There again, it's a whole other study. Venus is huge in mythology. The whole concept of Venus rising and then the sun rises above it, it's amazing how it's similar to the Earth. Like the Antichrist, like we've been talking tonight, counterfeit light versus the real light. Oh, you know what? I'm running out of time, but I forgot to. Before I close, I got to read this. Remember when we talked about Saul Alinsky, right? Saul Alinsky? Get this. His last interview was with Playboy magazine. And they asked him, do you believe in an afterlife? He said, I haven't seen the evidence of one way or the other, and I don't think anybody else has either. But I do know man's obsession with the question comes out of his stubborn refusal to face up to his own mortality. Let's say that there is an afterlife and I have anything to say about it, I will unreservedly choose to go to hell. 2 months later, he died of a massive heart attack. He got exactly what he asked for. And this is the man that Obama would use as his mentor. So anyways, Venus is very similar to the Earth. It's the second planet from the sun and considered in many, many ways to be a twin planet of Earth. It has similar size, mass, density, and gravity, as well as a very similar chemical composition. In other ways, Venus is very different than Earth with its high surface temperature. I think it's 800 degrees or something, just a high surface temperature, crushing pressure, and poisonous atmosphere. It's very similar to Satan. The prince of the power of the air is the angel of light, striking similarities to God. He wanted to be like the Most High. And in our lives, the decisions you're making, the things you see, do whatever, there's a lot of similarities. Well, Brad, this has got to be the Lord's will if I just got a raise. It's got to be the Lord's will if my son got a scholarship. It's got to be the Lord's will if. Satan's no dummy. He's going to right into your wheelhouse. He's going to give you that right something that makes you feel like it's God's will. He's the master of deception. He's the master of counterfeit. He's a master of setting up the lights around you that you think it's God's will that's going on in my life. So you filled out this. I ask you to
put a tally mark on which dollar was the right one. And you could see Calvary, they were kind of mixed on Calvary. Tonight, you had a couple down here, a couple down here. Just so you know, both of these are just paper. They're just paper. I just took a dollar bill and went to Staples and copied it. It's just paper. So the answer is, which one is counterfeit? I didn't say which one of these three. I just said choose which one is counterfeit or which one is the real one. See, nobody put any tally marks on that one.
This is the lower bottom?
No, no. This is the one that no one looked at. No one took the rubber band off. No one took the sheet and turned it around. Understand what I'm saying? Take the time to take the rubber band off in these decisions, these things. Take the time to look around. Take the time to look on the right side so the train doesn't hit you. Understand?
Father God, thank you so very much for this talk. Lord God, we just so want to be with you. Because then we don't have to fight all this garbage in our life. All these fake lights. These artificial feelings. These counterfeit friends. And all these things that the Satan never stops pounding on us. But Lord, we thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. And we thank you for loving us even more that you sent the Holy Spirit to live with us. To help discern these things. May we stop and ponder when these decisions are in front of us. And we never stop thanking you for how much you love each one of us here, Lord. Thank you for this assembly. Thank you for the Curtis stalwarts that come here each week, Lord. It doesn't matter if there's one or none. We love you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.